Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 27th episode of Season 6 of Dorney's Vinyl. If you're new to this podcast, I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is a weekly podcast, so the way I run my podcast, every odd-numbered podcast is an album review. So 2 weeks ago, the album that I reviewed, it was the old-school album, as I call it, that was Bonnie Tyler's The Best Is Yet to Come. And every even-numbered podcast is what I call an EP extra podcast. Half of those podcasts are games guest-starring my wife. So last week we did a game of album cover password. And the other half of those EPs are just little tidbits of information. So a few weeks ago, I did a segment that I call On This Date, in which I look at the Billboard 200 and the Billboard Hot 100 on a specific date in the past. Top 10 albums and top 10 songs. So most recently, I looked at the top 10 from February 12th, 1977. But this is an album review, and this is the Mamas and the Papas' self-titled album, The Mamas and the Papas. So essentially, how I go about doing my album podcast is I talk a little bit about the artist, I talk a little bit about the album, I then talk a little bit about the personnel, and then I talk a little bit more about the track listing. And I take a short little break in the middle, and when I come back, I give you guys my song opinions, my song rankings, and my album score. So let me get into this. This is the second Mamas and the Papas podcast, album podcast that I have done throughout Dorney's Vinyl. I believe the first one was the Mamas and the Papas, if you can believe your eyes and ears. I believe that was in season 3. So if you're a big The Mamas and the Papas fan, this is go back and listen to that one as well. But The Mamas and the Papas, so they formed in Los Angeles, California in 1965, and they were active from 1965 to 1968, and then again in 1971, and then in 1998. The founding members of The Mamas and the Papas include John Phillips, Michelle Phillips, Denny Doherty, and Cass Elliott. They have sold about 40 million records worldwide, and they were inducted into the Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1998. I would assume that, because they were active in 1998, that is what their activity was. And then they have released 5 studio albums and 17 singles. On the U.S. Billboard 200, they have 4 top 40 albums, 3 top 10s, and 1 number 1, and on the UK albums chart, 3 top 40s and 2 top 10s. And then for their singles, the US Hot 100, they had 10 top 40 singles, 6 top 10s, and 1 number 1. And in the UK singles chart, they had 6 top 40s and 4 top 10s. So, The Mamas and the Papas, the album now. It was the second studio album released by the band. So in 1965, The Mamas and the Papas released their first studio album, which was very successful, peaking at number 1 in the U.S. and having a song nominated for a Grammy Award. During recording for their second album, though, John Phillips discovered that his wife and bandmate Michelle Phillips was having an affair with Gene Clark of the Byrds. John was determined to fire her, so after consulting with their attorney and record label, John, Cass Elliott, and Denny Doherty served Michelle a letter kicking her out of the group in June of 1966. Jill Gibson, who was their producer Lou Adler's girlfriend, was hired to replace Michelle, and she previously performed and recorded with Jan and Dean. After a few concerts in which Gibson performed, the other 3 members concluded that she just didn't fit in with the band, so Michelle was reinstated. During this time, the cover photo for the album had featured Michelle prominently, so they worked on creating a new album cover with Gibson. Several thousand advance pressings of the album with Gibson cover were sent to radio stations, but they were ultimately replaced back to the original cover when Michelle rejoined the band. That had to be confusing. The album was released on September 12, 1966, and it peaked at number 4 in the US and number 24 in the UK. The only review that I could find of the album was done by Tim Sendry for AllMusic, retrospectively, rating the album 4 out of 5 stars, and writing, quote, "Only the good vibes made it on the record, though, as the same creative team sought to recapture the beautiful harmonies and jangling, sometimes moody folk rock that made their debut sound so good. To that end, they definitely whip up a similar vocal blend, with Denny Doherty's velvety smoothness at the center of the swirling, almost medieval mixture of voices. End quote. Moving on into the personnel for the album. So, you have the band, obviously, the Mamas and the Papas, featuring Denny Doherty on vocals, Cass Elliott on vocals, Michelle Phillips on vocals, and of course, John Phillips on vocals and guitar. Other personnel for the album include Jill Gibson, who provided some vocals in the short time period that she was a part of the group, Hal Blaine on drums and percussion, Larry Knechtel on organ and piano, Joe Osborne on bass guitar, Eric Hord on guitar, Tommy Tedisco on guitar, P.F. Sloan on guitar, Peter Pilafian on electric violin. I'll be honest, I did not know they had electric violins in the 60s yet. Ray Manzarek on organ and piano for track 1. Jimmy Haskell does the string arrangement on track 7. And Gene Page does the horn arrangement on track 5. And the album was produced by Lou Adler. Moving into the track listing. So, all of the tracks here on the album were written by John Phillips unless noted otherwise. Track 1 is No Salt on Her Tail. Track 2 is Trip, Stumble, and Fall, which was written by John and Michelle Phillips. Again, like, I will get into my thoughts 100% about everything in my song opinions, but very interesting. Track 3 is Dancing Bear. It was released as the 4th single off the album, peaking at number 51 in the US. Track 4 is Words of Love. It was released as the 2nd single off of the album, peaking at number 5 in the US and number 47 in the UK. Cass Elliott is the primary vocalist for the song, and the lyrics of the song advise men that reciting words of love won't woo girls anymore, and that they need to take their potential suitors somewhere they've never been before. Very eerie. And Cashbox Magazine's review of the song called it, quote, a Phillips special with the foursome giving out with its solid and unique harmonies, end quote. Track 5 is My Heart Stood Still. It was written by Richard Rodgers and Lorenz Hart. It was originally written in 1927 for the stage show One Damn Thing After Another. The song was also covered by numerous artists, including Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, Perry Como, and Rod Stewart. Track 6 is Dancing in the Street. It was written by Marvin Gaye, William Mickey Stevenson, and Ivy Joe Hunter. It was first released in 1964 by Martha and the Vandellas. Their version of the song peaked at number 2 in the US and number 4 in the UK, and the song was also used as a civil rights anthem in the 60s. The Mamas and the Papas version was released as the 3rd single off of their album, and it peaked at number 73 in the US. Cashbox Magazine called their song, quote, is a powerful reading of the Motown sound with Cass Elliott singing a powerful lead, end quote. And the song was also covered by The Kinks, Grateful Dead, Little Richard, Van Halen, David Bowie and Mick Jagger. They did a duet on the song. Track 7 is I Saw Her Again. It was written by John Phillips and Denny Doherty. It was released as the 1st single off the album, peaking at number 5 in the US and number 11 in the UK. Doherty wrote the song after his brief affair with Michelle Phillips, combined with her affair with Gene Clark, which led to her expulsion from the group. Billboard Magazine's review of the song called it a, quote, lyric rhythm rocker, sure to hit the chart with impact, end quote. And Cashbox Magazine said about the song, quote, this one's a rhythmic, pulsating, folk rock hand clapper about a lucky fella who has finally found Miss Wright, end quote. Track 8 is Strange Young Girls. Track 9 is I Can't Wait. Track 10 is Even If I Could. Track 11 is That Kind of Girl. And track 12 is Once Was a Time I Thought. That is the conclusion of the informational section of today's podcast. I'm going to take a short little intermission And when I come back, I will give you guys my song rankings, my song opinion, and my album score. So stay tuned for that coming up. Alrighty, moving on now into the second half of today's podcast, the opinion part, my opinion essentially, in which I will go through now and rank my songs. So how I view this part, I just listen to the album from start to finish. As I'm going through the album, I will write notes about each song, and then when I get to the end, I rank the songs from my least favorite to my favorite. So this one has 12 songs. 12 songs, so I'll start with number 12. At number 12, I have Once Was a Time I Thought. This is a very simple song. However, these were, without a doubt, I think, the most complex lyrics on the entire album. It almost sounded like, quite frankly, they were reciting tongue twisters. I can't even say the notes that I wrote because it's tongue twisting me and myself. I like how this was the end of the album that didn't make it a good song. Like, unfortunately, it was still number 12. Favorite lyrics. See if I can get through this without messing up. The fashion of passion I rationed with caution because of the notion the potion of passion has never been passed to me. I did it. I made it through. I'm proud of that. At number 11, I have Dancing Bear. What a calming flute introduction into this song. It kind of reminded me of a song that you would hear in China in Epcot. Epcot in Disney. I've never actually been to China. And I feel like America has Americanized China, and this is what I meant. The lead vocals were very eerie, but very captivating. It kind of sounded like a song, this song, sounded like something that you would hear in like a play. And the lead background vocalist meshes very well with the lead vocals. I was really waiting for like a jump out moment in this song though. It kind of ended suddenly and without any really good parts in it. And it ended the same way that it started, with the flute. My favorite lyrics to this one, and the moon she filled our sails, and the stars they steered our course, and on our bow there was a golden horse. Or is it bow? I think it's bow. At number 10, Strange Young Girls. This song has a very strange, somewhat, I don't know if it's a pun, but like play on words intended, instrumental introduction. Maybe it's just because like I'm currently in the middle of reading a book about Blondie, Debbie Harry, but the sound of this song kind of reminded me of like a slow Blondie song. The vocals for also meshing together give this song a somewhat creepy sound. I really like how each line of the song is only like 3 to 4 words. Again, though, like, and I might be alluding to this a lot. The instrumentals for this one, they were just too simple for me. I need at least one song on this album to have some kind of wow factor riff to it. I think we finally got it for like a couple seconds at the end of this song, but it was only for like 5 seconds max. My favorite lyrics were, thinking these gifts were sent by the dove, all for the trip accompanied by love. At number 9, My Heart Stood Still. They do a really good job of transitioning between their more upbeat songs and their slower songs. Although this one tricked me. I thought it was going to be a slower song, but then it went into a really nice guitar and drum. I wonder if they were like the original barbershop quartet, or like the original like vocal kind of, I know probably they weren't, but you know what I mean. I will say this probably throughout every single song. I could use some stronger lyrics, but at the same time, I guess it was like the late 60s. I just needed a little bit more from some of these songs. Like, I really just didn't have much to write about. My favorite lyrics for this one, my feet could step and walk, my lips could move and talk, and yet my heart stood still. At number 8, I have No Salt on Her Tail. This song had a very calming organ sound at the beginning, but then they just get really right into the harmonies. I guess when you think about it, they have to, considering that John Phillips is the only one that actually plays an instrument. I really like the sound, though, of the acoustic guitar with their voices. They're very smooth singers. They mesh together very well. And I really think that in this song, the background female vocals from Cass and Michelle are definitely the strongest part of the song. The lyrics for this song are pretty good. It is this song, as many are, is definitely about Michelle, though. My favorite lyrics for this one, though it's hard for me, I'm going to leave her free because that would be the best philosophy. At number 7, I have Words of Love. This this song had a very like show-toony, cartoony piano. It kind of reminded me of like a couple Beatles songs, and kind of like the first line of the song also sounded like Beatle-y to me as well. I like how they finally gave one, I think it's Cass, the lead vocal on a song. She is probably the strongest singer of the group. I really like the background vocals that are kind of like an instrumental break. There hasn't really been anything remotely close to like an instrumental break, but I guess it makes sense for a vocal group to use vocals as a filler, or as a fill. Very nice vocal in the last word of the song. My favorite lyrics, words of love so soft and tender, won't win a girl's heart anymore. If you love her, then you must send her somewhere where she's never been before. At number 6, Even If I Could. I like the opening instrumental for this song. It kind of reminds me of the Moody Blues, although that might be because I just did a podcast about them a few weeks ago. But it is around the same time period, the late 60s. There is an instrument in the background of this song that I can't quite pick out. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I really like how it mixes in with the rest of the sound on this song. I guess if you think about it, their voices are the best instrument that they have, so it's obviously going to be the most prominent one on their songs. I think their writing got better on the second side of this album, and holy moly, we had another instrumental riff with a really solid acoustic guitar at the end. Almost sounded electric. They finally did it. It only took like 11 songs. My favorite lyrics were, "And now you know just why I cried. When she lied, she lied, she lied. But I want it understood. When it was good." Number 5, I Can't Wait. Wow, like this is somewhat of a sad lyric at the beginning of the song. 100% another song about Michelle. Like, I was wondering, is this the Mamas and the Papas Rumors? Was this Rumors before Rumors came out for Fleetwood Mac? Almost every song seems to be about Michelle, and some of the lyrics are just really digs at her. This is the first song on the album that I think I was able to notice the bass guitar. And another song, finally, another song that has an instrumental riff in it. And even if it was only for just like a few seconds, and even if it was neither a wow factor nor a Music That Counts riff, it was a riff nonetheless. My favorite lyrics were, "I can't wait to hear you scream, baby, when you know that it's the end of your dreams. Can't wait to see your face when I'm packed up and leaving your place. And baby, I can't wait." At number 4, I have Trip, Stumble, and Fall. I like whatever instrument that is at the beginning of this song. It kind of sounded like a xylophone, but at the same time, I don't really know my percussion instruments very well. The vocal on this song kind of sounded like the Beatles with the female background singers. This is the second song in 2, so the second song that has had lyrics about a bird. Very random. This is, again, another song that seems to be about Michelle. I said it again, they were Fleetwood Mac before Fleetwood Mac. My favorite lyrics were, "You've never been burned, but everybody's somebody's fool. And when it's your turn to burn, you'll know that it's cruel." At number 3, I have That Kind of Girl. So whatever percussion that they used at the beginning of this song, like, it needed to be used more. It was so basic, but it brought me into the song so well. Another song that is 1000% about Michelle. John definitely took out all of his feelings on these songs. The vocals on this one definitely sound like the Beatles. And we finally, on track 11, got a wow factor electric guitar riff. I will say, like, how and why Michelle was willing to rejoin the group after all of these songs about her is just beyond me. But my favorite lyrics were, "That kind of girl won't try to please. That kind of girl would never get on her knees. That kind of girl is the kind that thinks just of herself. You're on your first and she's on her 12th. Man, they got her. At number 2, I have I Saw Her Again. They got straight into it for side 2. This song does kind of have like a Beatles sound to it. An early Beatles sound when they sang really simple pop songs. This is probably the Mamas and the Papas' best song lyrically that they actually wrote. And I wonder if it's because Doherty had some say in it too. Or because it's about an affair. Like, crazy Fleetwood Mac stuff to think that someone... It might be even crazier than Fleetwood Mac. No, because Mick had an affair with Steve. Well, not really. You know, yeah, an affair with Stevie. But Denny has an affair with Michelle, and her husband, John, is in the band with them. Man, what craziness. This song also has one of the better backing tracks on the album. Good string arrangements as well. And I wish that they would just go out all out on all of their songs. There are some interesting lyrics in this song for it being about an affair. My favorite lyrics, though, were, "But what can I do? I'm lonely too. Yet it makes me feel so good to know she'll never leave me." And number one, Dancing in the Street. I love this song. I really like the opening instrumental that they do. You know, I was like, is it an electric guitar? Is it a bass? Or is it something different? I really liked their version of this song. The female vocalist has a bit of a shakiness to her voice that is just adding a lot to the song. It's unfortunate that their best song on this album, in my opinion, is a cover song. And everything, though, was clicking on this song. The instrumentals, the harmonies, the lead vocalist. A song that had a little bit of an instrumental riff. It was a good one. Possibly an electric keyboard on the song as well. Although I didn't know if they had electric keyboards in the 60s yet. The last listing of the cities was a bit interesting. Although it sounded like they were freestyling and it needed, like, this album just needed a spark of life. My favorite lyrics were, "Calling out around the world, are you ready for a brand new beat? Summer's here and the time is right for dancing in the streets." That is my song ranking. So I will now go into my album score. How I do this is I listen to, I give it a score based out of 10, 1 through 10, on the lyrics, vocals, and instrumentals. So lyrically, I gave this album a 6 out of 10. The songs I pointed to were Dancing in the Street, I Saw Her Again, That Kind of Girl, and I Can't Wait. Vocally, I gave this one an 8 out of 10, pointing to Dancing Bear, Words of Love, Strange Young Girls, Once Was a Time I Thought. And then instrumentally, I gave this one a 6.5 out of 10, pointing to Trip, Stumble, and Fall, My Heart Stood Still, and Even If I Could. Those three categories scores will get multiplied by 2, and they go into the total score, which is out of 100. But I then give it a score out of 10 based off of where it charts in the US and where it charts in the UK. So the album was number 4, peaking at number 4 in the US, so I got 8 points, and number 24 in the UK, so 4 points. I also give it a score based off of where its singles charted in the US. It had 2 number 5s, that is 4 points each, so it got 8 points. And lastly, I give it a score out of 10 based off of its cover. The cover was... it was relatively simple, but it gave it a 7.5 out of 10. So, the total score for the Mamas and the Papas, is 68.5 out of 100. That is actually, I think, a pretty good score. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning into this week's episode of Dorney's Vinyl. If you're not already, please go follow me on Instagram at Dorney's Vinyl. We are nearing the end of voting for Season 7, so if you have albums that you want to hear a podcast about, you better get on to and start voting. Also, if you are interested in expanding or starting a record collection, I have used 33s and 45s for sale on my eBay store, which is also Dorney's Vinyl. No spaces, no capitalization, no punctuation. Other than that, next week's podcast is going to be an EP. I'm going to do a segment of Hall of Shame in which I essentially... bash the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for not having a certain artist in yet. I don't know which artist I'm going to talk about yet, though, but I have a couple in mind. But that'll be next week. And, yeah, so I'll talk to you guys then. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.